most predominant question that we hear from our physical friends is, Abraham, what is my purpose for life? Why am I here? And we say, you have come forth into this physical time and place intending to add to that which is. You have intended to come forth as a physical counterpart to carry on the work of that which you are. But you cannot begin to do that until you have reconnected with who you really are. As a disconnected being or one who is vibrating by virtue of negative thought, you cannot begin to do that which you have come here to do. Many of you are realizing that you are uplifters, and you say, I want to make the world a better place. And then we say to you, then do not worry about the negative aspects of this world, but focus upon the positive aspects so that you can connect with who you really are. The energy of the non-physical flows into you through the channel or passageway coming from your inner being. When you think negative thoughts, or thoughts that make you feel negative emotion, you have put a very strong restriction, like a tourniquet around the neck between you and your inner being. And you cannot begin to do that which you have come forth to do under those conditions. And so our message to you is that you look for reasons to feel good, that you look for aspects that are positive, no matter where you are looking, that you look for them in yourself, that you look for them in others. You will begin to notice that the better you feel about yourself, the better you will feel about others. And the better you feel about others, the better you will begin to feel about yourself. You will find yourself raising your vibrational frequency by virtue of your chosen thought. And so we would say, friends, make a decision that nothing is more important than that you feel good. And in your decision that you want to feel good, you will naturally gravitate to more thoughts that make you feel good. And as you are feeling good, you will be resonating more fully with who you really are, and then you will be being and doing and having that which you have come forth to be. And then you will be doing your part in making this world a better place. We've enjoyed very much this interaction. There is great love here for you.
Thank you.
We are complete.
Mm-hmm. Hi, this is Jerry Hicks. And the following 40 minutes will be from a special subject seminar recorded by Abraham and translated by Esther during a workshop in Salado, Texas, on the weekend of November the 16th, 17th, and 18th of 1990.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It is nice to continue in our process of co-creation, is it not?
Mm-hmm.
Are you refreshed?
Yes.
Good. Indeed we are. We've been sequestered away. What is it you're wanting to talk about?
Do you ever tire? Do you sleep?
We do not.
You're always on?
Tiring comes from resistance. Resistance comes from focusing upon lack. That is what causes tiring.
Did you suffer a lot of boredom before Esther and I came along?
There he is again, believing he is the center of our universe.
So anyway, the subject this morning is self-appreciation. And subtitle, if I'm so, as people say, perfect as I am, then why don't I feel better about me than I do? Or selfishness versus selflessness. I was thinking this morning, I was trying to decide which was the most important subject of the 10, whether it was the first one of the pivoting and positive aspects or this one, the self-appreciation. But then I got to thinking, it's kind of like when I'm picking up this microphone, trying to decide which is the most important, the thumb or the finger. And holding it up, and so maybe we can't decide which is most. I do want to just add this one thing to it. From my experience, I taught that Think and Grow Rich course for many years, and I saw a lot of tremendous results, positive results from it, but I saw a number of people who I didn't see, I couldn't see any major positive change. I didn't see anything less as a result of it, but I didn't see much value other than good times. And so I came to the conclusion that what was lacking in Hill's book, Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich, was this idea of self-image factor or self-appreciation. And I felt that that needed to be integrated into some sort of program. And I still feel strong about it. And I hear you say a lot about love for yourself and care for yourself and feel good for yourself. And would you talk about how all of that fits into the whole program of life?
We would say, if you are wanting to prioritize importance of the 10 subjects, and you could add 100 or 1,000 more to it if you are wanting, and we would put this topic as highest priority. Because we are understanding the laws of the universe. You are as well, are you not? We are understanding law of attraction prevails. And we are understanding that each of you are magnets, attracting unto you that which you are. And so if you are a being not appreciating self, you will not allow yourself, no matter how much you want. If you are not a being appreciating self, you will not allow the things that you want into your experience, because it defies law. When you are not feeling love for self, anything that you consider to be good, you are automatically holding apart from you, you see. And so it is of greatest importance.
If I'm taught to that in order to inherit the kingdom of all the goodies, that I must prostrate myself or humble myself, and that humility and lowering myself is of the most value for me to gain or grow, can you explain how that works?
What you are wanting to do in order to be deliberate creators is to align within yourself your beliefs and your desires, your thoughts. Desires are thoughts, beliefs are thoughts, and when you have thoughts that contradict with thoughts within you, that's what makes you tired. That's what causes resistance. Sending thoughts off in opposing direction is what causes the tug of war within you, and it is also what makes you less powerful. Now, you are always attracting, but you are attracting by virtue of your dominant thought. The more that those things that you give more thought to are those things that are coming at you in a more powerful way. Now, because of the balance of the universe, and because every thought has its balanced counterpart, health has the counterpart of sickness, prosperity has the counterpart of poverty, that is part of the balance of the universe, then as you are giving thought to health or to sickness, you are getting whatever it is you are giving thought to. Over a period of a lifetime, that which you have given the most thought to upon any subject is that which you are living. When you are believing, by virtue of what you've been taught, that it is of value for you to be humble. Humble meaning a recognition that there is that which is greater than you are?
Yes. Yeah, oh yes. That everything is.
And yet you are wanting wonderful things to come unto you. We would say that that belief of humility or humbleness and that desire for good things to come to you are not a good mixture. And in your lack of appreciation, and we would say that humility is an attempt at a lack of appreciation. Those are hard words to hear, aren't they? Because you have been taught for a very long time that humility is a virtuous thing. You've also been taught that empathy and sympathy are virtuous. And yet what we are wanting you to understand is that as you allow yourself to be unappreciative of self, as you compare yourself to other things and decide that you are less, as you feel that, now it all depends. You see, these words are dangerous because they mean different things to different beings. If you are using the word humility and you are feeling very wonderful about it, then you are not in a position of conflicting with anything that you are wanting. But if in your humility you are feeling inferior, not as good as, not as worthy as, not appreciating self, now you have a problem. Now you are standing in the way of allowing into your experience what you are wanting. What we have noticed, and what is at the basis, it is the very root of self-appreciation, is that most of you do not believe yet that you have the ability or maybe even the right to be the one who chooses for you what is best for you. In other words, you want to do what's right, you just are not always sure that you're smart enough to figure it out. And so the process of self-appreciation is the process whereby you begin to gain confidence that you are the one. We have taken very many tactics with you as we have interacted in our attempt to stimulate your thought as we have been together in these days. Because we are wanting again and again and again and again to point out to you that there are no other options. If you are waiting around for someone else to appreciate you, and you have not yet decided to appreciate yourself by law of attraction, it is never going to be. Large segments of your society, whether it is because of the color of their skin or the mindset that they choose or their ethnic or religious background, large segments have decided that the world is prejudiced against them. And as they are casting their finger of blame to the others who are not appreciating them, we say to them, you are the attractor of the prejudice. It is your expectation of it, your belief that it exists, your continual attention to it that causes it to be your experience, you see. You see?
Yes. Let me deal a little more with the humbler and the humbled. Who has the right to be the humbler over the humbled? In other words, who gets to be boss? That's that pendulum thing that I was talking about a little. It seemed to me in the early days of my life that little children weren't allowed to even think or speak. And so I could see why so many had lack of self-appreciation.
When you're not allowing someone to do something, when you are suppressing another, it is always from your position of lack, and it is always because you do not appreciate self. Anyone, whether it is a parent or an employer, it doesn't matter who you are to the other one. If you are in a position where you are trying to suppress them or manipulate them or control them, it is always for one reason. You don't like you. And when you do not like yourself, it is not possible for you to appreciate or approve of or uplift any other, you see. And so here we are again. What is your work? Your work is to bring yourself to the point of appreciating yourself. Not hard to figure that out, is it? And so now it is good for us to spend some time figuring out how to get there. Do you like yourselves?
I do.
It is very good to be among so many who are appreciating themselves. For as we see you interacting with one another, we see you also appreciating the others. And that makes for a very good life experience, does it not? Here you are, a group of magnificent beings gathered together because you are freedom-seeking, joy-seeking, growth-seeking beings. You are motivated by that which feels good. And it is nice to be around so many others that are motivated by that which feels good, is it not? Now, do you believe that in order to feel good, that the whole world must feel good? Do you believe that in order to feel good, the majority of the world must feel good? You are understanding that it is only your decision to feel good that makes the difference between whether you feel good or not, agreed? Self-appreciation truly comes from appreciating things in others. That is the surest, swiftest route to it. Looking at another and looking for something you are wanting to see. And as you see it, you feel good. And as you are feeling good, you become the radiator or the oozer of that. And then you become the evoker of it from others, you see. What are you wanting to speak about?
I need some clarification on a subject that we brought up yesterday during the parenting session. It's really been disturbing me ever since it happened. And I'm going to use the example of Jerry that he brought up about the problem that he had with his mother, where he being a freedom seeker and his other siblings, he attracted a behavior from his mother that his siblings did not. Okay. And all I'm hearing is that it's basically just Jerry's fault that that happened. And I'm having a difficult time with this. I have a feeling I know what you're talking about, but here we are feeling and being told that it's good that we're all joy-seeking, freedom-seeking beings. And I can accept the fact that, you know, a 9-month-old baby is still a being who's been here from...
You know, that one gets you every time, doesn't it?
I understand it, intellectually, but probably all of us, I know I have, and other people have to different degrees, have been under a parent's supervision or control in ways that were very restricting. And I guess I'm just not understanding how it is that, I guess all I'm hearing is that it was all Jerry's fault. His mother has no accountability, or, you know, her lack of appreciation of self or whatever, her controlling nature or whatever it might have been. I'm just...
The reason that we are wanting to bring you fully to the understanding that we do not use the word fault because we are not casting any blame, and we know you do not mean it in that way. Some words are rather far-reaching. But we must give Jerry the credit or the responsibility for what he is attracted into his experience right from the beginning of his emergence, because if we do not give him that credit or responsibility, then he is left vulnerable and victim to the whims of anyone at any time. You can't have it both ways. You are either the attractor and the creator of your experience, or somebody else is. And if somebody else is, then everybody else is. And then you are really a cork that is buffeted around on the sea of life, just taking whatever somebody else wants to dish out to you. And it is absolutely not that way. Now, we know that as creatures who want very much to be right, that it has become your long-standing tendency, anytime something is not just right into your experience, it is very difficult for you to blame yourself, because right from the beginning, at the core of your being, you were not one who casts blame upon yourself or upon anybody else. You were one that felt your rightness. And that is really where your defensiveness comes from. That is why you say, not my fault. If it's not my fault, it must be somebody else's fault, you see. And what we would like to do is take it out of the arena of being anyone's fault and let it be your right. Let it be your, as you say, God-given right, the absolute freedom of choice under any and all conditions. Now, if you could tiptoe with Jerry back into this scenario that bothered you so much, and you could have witnessed the things that were happening at that time, you would have recognized, as an objective creature now watching it, that at every point along the way, Jerry had the option of seeing this as a positive or a negative experience. Later, many years later in life experience, he began to look at his mother through different eyes and realized that she was doing the best that she knew how to do every step along the way. And that everything that she did was out of her wanting for him to be strong so that he could be out there. You see, his mother was a very rare creature in that she experienced her freedom in a very powerful way. Freedom was the most important thing to her. And so, as a result of that, she really thought that it would probably be the most important thing to her son. And so, at a very early age, she put him in a position where he was strong, where he could acknowledge that he was free. Now, it is easy for you, under all conditions, to look for the negative aspects. Some of you have been seeing some negative aspects even as we've been moving forward this weekend. In other words, not enough time for this question, or I have not had the opportunity to speak as much as I would like. In other words, it is always easy, under even the best of conditions, to look for what you are not wanting to see and find it. But you are not those that are seeking the easy path. You are those who said, as you decided to emerge into physical experience, I am a teacher, I'm going forth to teach, therefore I am wanting to attract unto me at an early age as much experience as I can so that I will be in a position to share from a real first-hand personal experience that which I've come to know, you see. The bottom line here is you are either the creator of your experience or you are not. Now, we know. And one of the reasons that you have chosen a dimension where there are many others with whom you are sharing is so that you can understand how you fit into this broader picture, so that you can understand the power of your own influence. But we will tell you that the influence, the reason for your influence, the reason that you are wanting to experience the power of your influence is because you are wanting to control your own life experience, not because you are wanting to control the experience of any other. Truly. If someone said to us, Abraham, my mother is very sick, and I love her very much, and I don't want her to be sick, And she doesn't understand what to do about it. She's dying. If I'm the creator of my experience and my mother is part of my experience, then why can't I create her into wellness? And we said, you can influence. And this one said, it's not enough. Like, my influence is too hard. It's too slow. I want to fix what is wrong with her with my intent. We said, very virtuous, very nice of you. Of course, we are assuming that you know exactly what she wants, when actually only she knows that. On the other hand, let us say that there is a little frivolous being sitting over there on the end of the stage who looks at you and decides that you would look very nice with an extra nose right here in the middle of your forehead, or maybe a big green wart about the size of your nose protruding from it, or going to the right, no, the left. If somebody has the ability to make you well, then somebody must have the ability, the freedom, the power to put a big green nose on your nose. And you say, well, under those conditions, I don't want an alteration of the law. I just want an alteration of the law in order to serve my purposes. And we say, there are no alterations of the law. The law is absolutely consistent, and you take great delight in that, because once you've understood the law, then you are in control of your own life experience. And so do not have sorrow for Jerry's experience as he gained his balance, as he came to understand his power. You will not meet one happier than this one. And if you are wanting to give credit, give some of the credit to his mother who caused him so much grief. The most important thing for all of you to understand is that freedom abounds or it does not. What is it? Does freedom abound? Which, and if, do you believe you are free? And if you are free, does that mean that some are and some aren't? Or is everyone free? And if everyone is free to make choices at every segment of their experience to look for positive or negative aspects, then is not everyone the absolute sole creator of their experience?
It's the one point that most get hung up on all this is the what about the little ones? And I hear that from time to time, because it's like the things that we can't understand because we can't get concrete evidence. Okay, let me just say it. From the way we are, if there's no one to tell us, we can't tell that the Earth is not the center of the universe, because from where we stand, we see the moon going around, and we see the sun going around us. And so there's no possible way for us to understand that it's otherwise, that we're going around and they're not going around us. And until someone with some sort of insight or some higher perspective or broader perspective tells us, no, it's the other way around. Until someone tells us otherwise, who has another perspective and stimulates our thought, and once our thought is stimulated, then you begin to have another perspective, and then you can see that that's true. It is. We are going around it rather than it going around us. It's like the same thing as those who believe everybody knew the world was flat until someone projected the idea that it wasn't, and it was really difficult for the world to understand. All right, now.
Your point is that you're evolving in your understanding, and as you understand more, then more of the things fit in?
Part of that. But it takes some broader perspective or someone from a broader perspective to stimulate the thought in us that there is another way of looking at something. Otherwise, we just keep on saying the same things.
Good.
And believing the same things.
Agreed.
So when you tell us that even at birth we are old beings, and even at birth we are thinking, and even at birth those thoughts have creations, and even at the birth we have an inner guidance system that's telling us, that's making us feel good and making us cry when we're hungry and making us smile when we're happy and so on and so forth. At first it comes as a shock, like it's almost like telling us the world is round or telling us that we're going around the sun when we see the sun going around us. But then once you stimulate our thought from your broader perspective, then we can start finding evidence. You come a little further back in life. You can think back, well, I remember at 2 years old, I remember I had that thought. And or one person will tell you, well, I remember at 1 year old that I was thinking, and I remember that thought, and then that happened.
And then you look around into the world and you see that there is no evidence to the contrary.
Yeah, you can't find it to the contrary. You still can't actually prove it before they're speaking because, you know, am I making sense?
You are. We are wanting.
I don't know how it is.
We are wanting you to understand that you are the center of the universe, that all things respond to you, that you are the magnetic attractor. And the reason that so many of our physical friends are having difficulty in this life experience or in any other is because they keep giving somebody else the credit or the responsibility for what is happening to them, and then things go amok. As they are waiting for God to answer their prayers, what they do not understand is that God is out to lunch. God is not there. That is not his responsibility or his desire. He has given it to you as individuals. You are the creator, the attractor of your experience. Just as you said as a little child, as your mother wanted to pick you up and hold you, you wanted to be away. You wanted to be the independent being of your universe. It's very important to understand that.
On the subject of self-appreciation, it seems like from last night's discussion and where Jerry started, everything pretty much rests on a combination of confidence or self-appreciation, feeling good, and belief and expecting. I mean, you couldn't attract dollars or love or a career or anything without some combination of these two aspects.
The creating process is twofold: wanting or identifying what is wanting, and then allowing or expecting or believing. And so once you've identified what you want, then the way you feel about yourself is the other part of the equation. Most of you have set forth enough thought to carry you for 10 or 20 lifetimes in terms of wanting, but it's the allowing part of the equation that is weak for most of you, the letting it come to you, or the not holding it apart.
I guess my question is, I understand this. I have a twin sister that her level of self-confidence and self-appreciation is very low. And as a consequence, her belief in what she can attract to herself is on a par with this.
Absolutely.
And I'm always struggling with, apart from just loving her as much as I can because I think she's a wonderful being, how do you help influence someone towards that sense of appreciation? I mean, I'll give you a small example. She called me on the phone about 2 weeks ago and said that she had met an interesting man on the boat going from Martha's Vineyard to Boston, and it sounded very interesting, and she was excited. And I said, oh, that sounds wonderful. She said, yeah, I guess so. And I said, what's that mean? She said, well, I don't know. He's too good-looking. I mean, I think his eyes are too blue, and he's really successful. And I thought, well, that sounds wonderful to me. It doesn't sound like a problem at all. But I think where she was coming from was, if he is this magnificent, there must be something wrong with him I can't see in order for him to be attracted to me. And I'm sort of at a loss with her. And the same thing goes on when, in terms of her career, she'd like to be a composer, but she's working as a travel agent instead. What can I do?
The thing to do is you begin by prepaving in advance. As you say, I love her as much as I can, but get specific about it. Try to pinpoint in your own mind qualities about her that are especially attractive, now or appealing or magnificent. The tendency is to see something that is wrong. We're talking about you noticing it in her, and then recognizing that that doesn't feel good to you, and then at that time trying to compensate or pivot, which leaves you in a sort of weakened position because even your energy about her is split. As she calls your attention to a lack, sometimes you have to agree. In other words, this is a pattern that you've seen in her for a very long time, and so as you're seeing her do it, you're almost agreeing with her, which is almost adding power or inspiring more of her doing more of that. But if in advance, before you talk to her, you have prepared yourself, you have been sequestered away for a period of time, all negative attraction regarding your feeling about your sister has stopped, and you have, before you have called to talk to her, set forth your intent to evoke from her that which is uplifting, to see in her only that which is by your standards positive, then as you are interacting with her, what you will really see,
will be that which makes you really feel that she is really magnificent, which means what will ooze out of you will be authentic. What will ooze out of you will be, I really think you are magnificent, and that is hard for her to resist. She may resist it with words, but she will still feel it. Have you not all known the difference between a sincere, deeply felt compliment and one that is flattery? The sort of shallow, the thing that you always say to everyone. Can you not tell the difference when someone feels what they're saying to you and when they're just saying it because they're trying to make you feel better? And so what we are saying is you cannot deceive or influence with your words. Because the way you feel oozes out and is ever so much powerful. And so prepave in advance so that what oozes out of you reaches her. And it doesn't take very many contacts. Most of you, even as you have had wretched relationships with your parents, there was somebody in your experience who adored you. And you remember the thing they said to you that made you stand up and take notice, don't you? You remember the compliments when they come because those are the ones that were radiating with the power of the universe behind them, you see. Can you imagine what light you will be unto the world in assisting others in more self-appreciation? And a really big bonus in all of this is that as you look for those things in others, you begin noticing them in yourself also. And so not only are you uplifting others, but you're uplifting self. Another way of going about it is to talk in terms to yourself about the things that you like about yourself. Then you are more prepared to see those things in others. You, none of you, have come here to be all things to all people. There will always be someone that is more evolved on some topic than you are, because all of you are choosing the subject of your thought. And what is evolution? What is evolvement? Evolvement is attention to a subject. When you pick a subject and you give your attention to it, by the law of attraction, that subject gets bigger and bigger and closer and more predominant in your experience. And so then you are evolved upon the subject. If you are one that is believing that you must be all things to all beings, then you're going to come up short over and over and over again. But if you are saying, I am just really interested in this, or I am really good at this, as you are looking at your assets instead of your liabilities, as you are looking at your positive aspects rather than the negative aspects that you may have noticed or someone else may have noticed, then eventually that feeling of self-esteem, of self-appreciation, that getting in the place of positive attraction becomes your natural and your always state of being. Most of you now are a little bit like yo-yos. Some days you feel better about yourself, some days you feel awful about yourself. And some subjects you feel good about yourself, and some subjects you feel bad about yourself. The subjects that you do not feel good about yourself, give them no more thought. The subjects that you feel really good about yourself, focus upon them, write them down. And it is our promise to you that that which you do not like will go away, and that which you are liking will come closer. It is law. Good. What more?
I've been having something come up in the last couple of days, and I've usually done pretty well with the laws and working with them, but it's like some little thing is sitting on my shoulder. It's been building. Like if I'm projecting something that I really want, and it's like this little voice is saying, you can't have that, you can't do that, and it's kind of a new thing for me. I've always been a really positive person, and it's like this little thing. This little voice is there in just the last couple of days that has, I don't know if it's coming up to surface, probably for me to take care of it once and for all. But it's like a little imp up there. You can't do this. You can't have that. Why do you think you can do this? You know, why do you think these laws are going to work for you?
Here's the way it works. You're stuffed full of beliefs, and this is a perfect place to insert this interaction because you have more beliefs about yourself than any other thing because yourself has been there all the time, you see. Everything that you've been perceiving through the eyes of self. You're stuffed full of beliefs. You've been accumulating them since the day of your emergence into this physical body. So now as you are deciding to be a deliberate creator and you say, I want whatever it is, by law of attraction, everything that is within you that has anything to do with this new decision begins to surface. Everything, law of attraction just brings it right back, right out of your unconscious into your consciousness. And so as it is surfacing, if it is in agreement with this new desire, you have a positive emotion. If it is in disagreement with this new desire, you have a negative emotion. And so you are right. This is what is happening. This is the process whereby the beliefs that are within you that are not in harmony or that are conflicting, that are resisting what you want, are surfacing so that you can deal with them. Now, the way you deal with them is by saying, I want, and then you have this negative emotion. You say, what is this about? What is this negative emotion related to? You can pinpoint it right away because the negative emotion is always there in the moment of the awareness or the thought. You can always know that's the way you ferret out the culprit or you ferret out the conflicting belief. Once you've identified what it is, then some self-talk is in order. And the self-talk that we are encouraging is looking for the positive aspects of the subject that is being debated here within you, you see. And as you look for the positive aspects, the negative aspects will just eventually, usually not in one process of pivoting, it usually takes 5 or 10 or 20, it depends upon how strongly this belief has been embedded within you, you see. It is very good. What?
Jerry's talking about the earth revolving around the sun, the sun revolving around the earth, stimulated a question in me along somewhat the same lines. Where does, in this lifetime or our lifetimes, physical lifetimes, where does knowledge or ignorance fit in? And my thought when he was talking about that in along the lines of our taking responsibility for our own selves, what about a 9-month-old or a 9-year-old grandson who is in an area that's not so safe? And I know ultimately he has to be responsible, but at an emotional level, I still have some problems with that. If he doesn't know about the laws, and he doesn't know about the inner being, at least on his conscious level, how does his ignorance or lack of knowledge fit into that? This whole scheme.
We will talk about the inner being at greater length in the next gathering, and we will address this more fully. What we are wanting you to understand is that ignorance is only lack of attention to any subject, while knowledge is attention to a subject. And it is really impossible to identify the number of subjects upon which you are ignorant, because there are many more of them than you are knowledgeable about. And that is not a bad thing. It is the way you've intended it to be. You simply are wanting a format where you can focus upon something that is focusable in order to make some meaning out of life experience. We're going to broaden this just a moment very quickly. The reason that we were giving our friend here such a hard time is because what you do not understand really makes no difference in the quality of your life experience. Whether you have had a positive experience that lasted 1 minute, or a positive experience that lasted 9 years, or a positive experience that lasted 90 years, the value of the positive experience is not dependent upon the length of its endurance. As physical creatures, you are not seeing the broader picture. And so death from the physical, you see the negative thing. When from our perspective, it is no more negative than this weekend coming to an end. In other words, someone said it would be nice if we could start all over again, not wanting the gathering to come to a closing. Your inner guidance will come forth pertinent to whatever you are wanting and whatever you are believing in any situation that you're in. And that is really the thing that is most important for you to understand. You do not have to have all of the facts and figures of the universe in order to live a glorious, fulfilling, satisfying life experience. You only have to understand a few simple laws. Now, you are believing that this 9-year-old grandson does not understand them. We are believing that he understands them more than most who are 90 or 80 or 70 or 60, because he is still closer. We have said to many who are concerned about their children, pay attention to your children. Their sensing will be stronger. If this one is wanting life experience and finds himself in a position where that life experience is threatened, his inner guidance will come forth in such an emotional way that it will be very obvious. Do not worry.
I would like you to... I think Jerry's opening question was so good. And I'd like you to answer that just from your perspective, and maybe that's a good wrap-up.
Speak it.
If I am so perfect as I am, then why don't I feel better about me than I do?
Because you are saying words you do not know. You're saying, I am perfect, I am prosperous, I am well, when what you are feeling is, I am not perfect, I am vulnerable, I am, I have within me the greater probability of poverty and sickness than I do health and wealth. You are not believing, you are not knowing, they are just empty words when you say, I am perfect. When you are feeling your at oneness with self and your perfection, they are not words that you have any desire or need to speak. It is just something that you know, and it serves you very powerfully in every experience. You see, many of you believe that your thought is the equivalent of the words that you speak. And we say, you cannot, most of you, some of you are able to do it now, but most of you, most of the world, cannot evaluate their what they are really knowing through the words that they are speaking, because they are so far apart. But you can know through the way you are feeling. We've enjoyed very much this.
And this concludes the dialogue, the Abraham Hicks dialogue on self-appreciation.